Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is June the 15th, 2022, on an amazing, beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope everybody's having a great day, great morning, great life. Good, bad, you know. Got up this morning, went for a run with the doctor. That was a nightmare. And the biggest part of the nightmare was not the run. It was everything up to the run. You know, questioning. I told, my buddy Jimmy K called and said, let's go for a run. And I was like, that's excellent. I'd love to. I said, I really had almost talked myself into, I can't run anymore. I'm like, I just don't think I can do it, right? Because I just haven't wanted to. And I don't know what that's about. I could say, and I have said, that I think I'm just pretty much happy, pretty content. But at the same time, I do not want to give up running. And the idea of that does not make me happy. But it is a weird kind of battle that seems to go on with me. And I told him, I said, I really considered the fact that I was maybe not going to run anymore. You know, maybe I'm getting too old, right? I don't know about you, but as I've gotten older, I feel like I'm throwing in the white flag even more. Like, oh, I'm 53, I can't run anymore, which is not true. You know, I see a lot of people that are older than I am that do plenty of other stuff. Physically, I am capable of running, and we made the date, which was for today. And I struggled with it. I was really kind of stressing about it. I told my wife, we got to go to bed early and really got a big run tomorrow. And, got up and just did it and felt fantastic. You know, I thought I'd make it to the end of the street and then I'd be kind of hunched over with my hands on my knees dying. Nah. We basically ran 2 miles. We usually run a couple miles and then, we do intervals and stuff on the way back, but felt good. Felt good all the way back, in fact. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, and I still believe it. You know, I don't believe that I'm living unless I'm suffering. And running is a suffer. I suffer through running. It is amazing. I love it. The experience is fantastic. The sunrise, it's amazing. But the act of going through the run and really, it's pre-running, because honestly, the run was fantastic. It's all the shit that I built up in my head before we run. It's really just pretty, it's like a nightmare, and I just don't get it. But it's I don't want to make it as simple as the devil and God, but, it is that. It is that. And it's weird, because I would think that if, devil only improves self, at least in my mind, I'm running, I feel healthier. Hopefully I'm maintaining some sort of decent weight. And so it serves me. It serves self. So I'm surprised self isn't like, come on, let's go for a run. We'll look good and we'll be all this. But I tell you what, the self doesn't even like running. Self is like, this is too much. Brushing our hair, taking a shower, that's about as much as self wants to do. But when it comes to like physical stuff, self's like, I don't know. So it's an interesting battle that takes place for me, at least with running. And I was telling James this morning, I said 3 years ago, I would have been like, run, run, run. But I'm in a different place today. I'm sort of happy. I'm sort of content. And I'm sort of in a place where I don't, And I guess all these words might mean the same thing, but I really don't have anything to prove, right? And, but I enjoy that time, that hour with, you know, running with James or whoever it is I run with, you know, especially James, because James and I, he's, you know, he's sober and we say things and it's almost like, you know, kind of like throwing it out there to see what's going to come of it. And we know how to pick and choose, you know, when to comment or, you know, stand down. And, but it's, you know, through the years, we've even, you know, it's funny, but we've gone through, you know, the fact that we're both pretty sensitive and our feelings get hurt pretty easily. And I think the running has helped us control that a little bit, maybe. You know, I was watching something on YouTube and my problem is I'm a smart enough guy, but I'm just not that smart. And so when I watch fascinating things, I have trouble explaining what I watched because I don't really know much about it. And a lot of this was on conscience and you know, just heavy duty, you know, dark matter, dark energy, you know, just all that interesting shit that I think is so fascinating. But what I was, but when I tried to explain it, and what I was trying to explain, or my question for him was, you know, because my buddy James really, he's even said it, and I don't know if it like paralyzes him, but he's a little afraid of dying. It's unsettling for him a little bit. And I hope I'm not speaking out of turn because I think that he would agree. Because he says, I want to live to 120, you know, he wants to live to 150 or something. And I was saying that, you know, I thought it'd be interesting to write a book or a movie. And the premise of the movie is that somebody solves the problem of dying, right? Like all of a sudden, you know, I think I can only speak for myself, I don't want to die, right? I want to get the most out of this life. And I know early on in my life, I didn't really think of dying at all. Just, it was like a thing, I guess, but I'm like, I'm 18. What the fuck do I care? I won't be, unless clearly if I get ran over by a train or something. But, you know, just the natural progression, I'm like, well, I should be good for a while. So I didn't really think about it. But as I've gotten older and, you know, dying becomes, you know, a real thing. I am 53 and I don't think I'll die anytime soon. But, you know, my dad's 85. He's doing pretty well. So 32 more years, 35 more years of really good quality of life. You know, my wife's grandmother, GW, she's 99. She's not having a good time. In fact, you know, I feel like we're kind of saying goodbye right now. Her light's slowly dimming. But she's done so well. But, you know, the biggest challenge for her isn't living. It's, you know, living a good quality life. And I always say, and I always say this to James, I said, I don't want to bury my children, right? God, how awful would that be? I don't want to live so long that starts to become a thing. I couldn't imagine. So 85 or something, but I'm sort of, you know, I love learning about it and I love the mystery of dying and what's next. And I'm excited, you know, I'm excited for the idea of doing something else. But I said, wonder what it would be if somebody cured dying, right? Let's say you've just become immortal. How would you want that? Would I want that? I would not want that. I would not want to live forever. Oh my goodness. You know, I like putting a lot of effort into it, but you know, at some point I'm ready to, you know, retire and see what's next. But wow, you know, how, you know, I think we assume that we all want to live forever, but if they announce, okay, we've cured dying, all you got to do is come get a shot or take something and you will live forever, would I be interested in doing that? You heard that we were brain, but now you think we're lame. Since you saw the show last night, you hope that maybe. Yeah. It's an interesting thought. And, you know, I do believe, you know, whether it's quantum mechanics and these, you know, the science of what we really are. I was watching a guy the other day, and it's like, you know, we're all just like a math equation. I mean, we're all just, you know, in the simplest form, we're not what it looks like. And, you know, the more and more that we go on, the more that's revealed, and it's interesting. And, you know, I said to James, I said, you know, if you could die and go to heaven and spend your life with God and the clouds or whatever it is that heaven is, or you had the option to re-enlist, what would you do? And he didn't really know. And I was like, I'd love to re-enlist. You know, my biggest disappointment at this point right now is the idea of that we're going to miss, you know, all these cool things that are going to happen in the future. I think it'd be fun if maybe we lived 200 years, maybe if that was our life period. but, you know, the life that's coming, you know, a more digital, whatever it is, life, you know, those people are going to miss all of the cool things that happen really pre-internet, right? Because the internet's really where life shifted. And this guy I was watching on Joe Rogan's podcast was saying that, you know, the internet is what has pushed us towards being a number one out of three civilization. And it's that communication, that really that world communication, not just, you know, amongst towns and states, but we communicate across the universe or across the globe. And I don't know. It's just crazy. I'm slightly jealous because I wonder what life will be like one day when we travel the galaxies. But at the same time, I would hate to have missed the life that I've had. So anyway, that was just, it was a good morning. Great run with the doctor, and just, you know, decompress, debrief a bit. You know, there's not many people that I can talk to about, you know, recovery. One of the things that I told him this morning, I go, you know, James, I said, you know, all the times I've been working on this working on a program and this kind of stuff, I never ever realized that in the fifth step, even in the 12 and in the 12 and 12, where it says sobriety and peace of mind. You know, that peace of mind, if you listen to this podcast, you'll know that that peace of mind part has really blown my mind. You know, because it's a, you know, this program, especially newcomers, especially when early on, you know, it was about just stopping drinking, right? Please, just help me quit drinking. And I think that it's a huge reason to get sober, right? Because drinking is the first problem. You know, I guess you could argue maybe I'm the first problem, drinking's the first problem, who's, you know, but the reality is that me and drinking are a problem. So, and I did it for a long time, but when I finally, you know, when the bus stopped and the door opened and I stepped off, you know, I stepped off in the wrong part of town, but it supported not drinking. It supported, you know, refraining from the drink. And that is exactly what I needed. But if I wanted to find out, like, you know, it's like going to New York City and, you know, you got certain parts of the town, you know, and if you want to learn about museums, you don't want to get off at the boat dock, right? And I think that's kind of what happened to me. You know, the getting punched in the face, getting in a fight, getting my ass kicked from running my big drunken mouth, and then all that came from that was kind of like getting off at the wrong bus stop. It was still, I needed to get off the bus, but it was very, it was a mystery a little bit, and it would take years before it would be revealed, because early on I thought I was just, you know, awesome, and I made a awesome choice to quit drinking, and it would later be revealed that it was about self and embarrassment and shame and pride and hiding but you know, later on I would get back on the bus, you know, got back on the bus and picked up sort of where I'd left off right away, and finally got off on the right bus stop, you know, when I started to learn that this is more than a disease of me drinking. You know, there's a lot of thinking shit that goes on in there. But we were talking, and James and I were, you know, they always said, like, you're going to, if you are, you know, back in the day, we used to carry a pager, and, you know, if someone was having trouble, they could call a hotline, and the pager would ring, and you would call them back. And they used to say, like, if you're going to do, you know, go help an alcoholic, take candy, right? Because the sugar kind of helps replace the alcohol that is missing, which in the end really breaks down to sugar. And so you should take candy and, you know, offer them candy. Excuse me. God. Freaking allergies are killing me. But offer candy, you know, to try to replace that sugar. And I was telling James, I go, you know, it's so funny. It feels like, you know, early AA is really, you know, because I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. I'm a self-focused person. What better way to please a self-focused person than by doing things that promote self? And, you know, I think for me, when I started going to the program or started going to a meeting or a program, you know, the idea of getting a coin. I mean, you can get a coin right away. It's like, look, you're doing good immediately. And, you know, for a guy like me, it was so important, right, to get that coin and to be recognized. But in that fifth step, sobriety and peace of mind. And that was the, and it's funny that it happens kind of in the fifth step, right in the middle, right? And James said that we're presented with things. Or how did he say it? When we're ready, we see it, right? You know, I talked about sponsoring people, and for a long time, I didn't sponsor anybody. And in my mind, I'm like, listen, I could sponsor people. But on the outside, people looking at me, they could see that I wasn't ready. I couldn't tell. And then, you know, over some years, and then eventually I started, you know, somebody asked me, hey, would you be my sponsor? They must have seen that I was, I guess, at some sort of place that I could, you know, maybe have something to offer. And so maybe I wasn't ready to see all this. But that peace of mind part is really, you know, they don't give coins for peace of mind, right? They give you coins for time from being away from the drink. But you have to have time away from the drink, obviously, before you can find the peace of mind. So, I don't know. It was very cool. It was great to kind of, you know, chat with the doctor, right? And just get some thoughts out of my mind. It was a great run, and I did 10 times better than self thought I would. And, you know, I have to remember that. I really have to remember that because I, for some reason, am not my biggest fan. So, yeah, so that's kind of what's going on. Not much else is going on. You know, I was, you know, talking about these. Well, maybe, you know, maybe I can read a daily reflection and see what's going on. If that gives us some idea to chat about. You know, I'm doing some other stuff and, you know, do some podcasting. I do it with some people and some, you know, when you're asking people to do stuff, especially it's more or less volunteering, right? Because we're not getting paid. You know, you put a lot of hope into it. And then when they have other things to do, you know, I get a little bit frustrated. And, you know, I shared yesterday about how I got, you know, as perfect as I think I am. And I don't think I'm perfect, but as well as I think I'm doing, a situation like that happened in that meeting, you know, how easily I turn into a big baby. And, you know, it just shows me that I got to keep working at this damn thing, or I'm going to end up being a big drinking baby. All right, let's see. Making AA your higher power. Yeah. You can make AA itself your higher power. Here's a very large group of people who have solved their alcohol problem. Many members have crossed the threshold just this way. Their faith broadened and deepened, transformed. They came to believe in a higher power. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 27-28. No one was greater than I, at least in my eyes, when I was drinking. Nevertheless, I couldn't smile at myself in the mirror, so I came to AA where, with others, I heard talk of a higher power. I couldn't accept the concept of a higher power because I believed God was cruel and unloving. In desperation, I chose a table, a tree, then my AA group as my higher power. Time passed, my life improved, and I began to wonder about this higher power. Gradually, with patience, humility, and a lot of questions, I came to believe in God. Now my relationship with higher power gives me strength to live a happy, sober life. Yeah, that's awesome. Higher power to me is interesting. I don't really know what it is, to be honest. I just know that it isn't me. You know, I shared in the meeting on Friday that because the topic of prayer came up and, you know, people, you know, give examples of their prayers and I was always told never to ask for anything. And because that's why my relationship with my higher power had started to fail early on, is because I would ask and nothing would be given. So I was like, well, this, and that's, you know, a great self-centered asshole with deficiency and humility. When things aren't going our way, we move on, right? And that's exactly what I did. And I just didn't move forward towards that. I just gave up. And so today, you know, I truly believe it's the attempt and not the outcome. It's the attempt at recognizing that I'm not the higher power. You know, that I'd shared before, that business and how powerless I was. And there's nothing worse to me than being powerless. And I guess you do have the power to do something, but hoping that I know it's best that I don't do it, right? And so the act of prayer, you know, and at that moment, it's the only thing that seems like that really wouldn't work, right? You know, I know at 53 that if I say, "Dear God, fix my problem," it is not going to happen, right? And even in that situation where I say it like that, "Dear God, fix my problem," it allows there to be disappointment and failure. It allows there to be the material to build a wall between me and my higher power, you know, being let down, not given what I want. It's right there. But if I say, "Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you," that's a whole different thing. That's me recognizing I cannot handle this. I'm not saying, "Dear Lord, make my shoulders big enough." I'm just saying, "Dear Lord, my shoulders are not big enough. I'm turning it over to you." It's the attempt. It's the, you know, I've said it before, and Matt used to say it to me, and I'm sure somebody said it to Matt. Anytime you have a problem, share it with somebody out loud. I think that's the beginning of a garden of humility. You know, that is because not saying it out loud, keeping it to ourselves, allows self and me and self to kind of like make soup, right? And just brew this nasty, toxic fucking soup. And self's like, "Don't say anything. Me and you can figure this out." And then we set in it and it gets darker and darker and it's just not good. But as soon as I say it out loud, first of all, I hear it, right? Second of all, it becomes real. It's left my brain. And then it becomes, you know, out there for other people to hear. And sometimes it's so silly, I can't even say it out loud, right? It's like, oh my God, I can't even, if I say this out loud, people are going to think I'm an idiot. Between self and I, we're fine. But when I expose this to another human, they're going to think I'm an idiot. And it's exactly what happens. And I think that's the beginning of, at least for me, was learning what humility was. It's not about the outcome, it's the attempt. I mean, there's so many things that I've done in my life where the outcome was not great, but it was the attempt. You know, I raced BMX when I was a kid. I was terrible. I couldn't win a damn thing, but I kept trying and I had a lot of fun and I had a lot of great experiences, but I could not win. It was terrible. And, it was a lot of fun. And it's kind of like this, you know, I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. I don't think we'd want to be perfect, right? But we try. And, you know, when a situation comes up like that, you know, I learn that And it's hard for me to even define, you know, this. I've been watching all these YouTube things about consciousness, and I don't even know what the fuck higher power is anymore, right? I just know that if I don't say something, I will turn in on myself and drive myself insane. And that's what I have to be careful of. And you know, it's not important what higher power is. It's just what's important is that I'm not it. And I think that's, and I honestly love that. You know, when I get caught up in some shit, you know, when I start getting caught up in some thoughts and some fears and some anxieties, you know, I say, you know, what kind of thoughts are these? I mean, am I making them up? You know, if I said this out loud to somebody, would they roll their eyes? Or would they, you know, really focus in on helping me try to understand or fix something? More than likely, it's that I'm making some shit up. You know, I'm not good enough. You know, like yesterday, I told you I had to try to get some sponsor, some advertising money. And self was like, you are not smart enough. You are not good enough. You do not deserve this. Don't even bother. And, you know, but luckily I have a wife and I shared it with her and she's like, excellent. Of course, look at how much work you've done. You should try. This is going to be great. You know, and she was right. And then when it worked out, she's like, I can't believe it worked out. And I said, well, listen, man, as long as we are sober and we're in this, you know, like we are, we're free to do whatever we want. I love that. As long as I get up today and I don't have a drink, I'm really free to do whatever I want. And if there's a voice or something going on in my head that's telling me don't do it, find somebody and say it out loud and try to get to the bottom of it. And, you know, should work out. I hope everyone has a great day. I appreciate you letting me share. We'll talk. See ya. You heard the wind.